decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host. Good to have you with us here. It's Friday. Good time to have Friday. Got the weekend coming. Hope you have wonderful plans for the weekend. Hope those plans include going to church. If they don't, change those plans right now. Get yourself to church. It's where you need to be for your own spiritual growth. So find a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church in your area and make sure to attend regularly. Get involved. Become a member if you're not already. Well, I do want to start off with a couple of book recommendations, which is not something I normally do. This one book I've been trying to get to all week, or meaning to get to all week, but I hadn't. This was written by a friend of mine in 2020, actually published in 2020. He wrote it before it was published. It's called The Sons of Philo Gaines. It is a Western book by Michael R. Ritt. And Mike has written a good, fast-paced, page-turning Western adventure. Just this last week, I think it was last Friday or Saturday, so just about a week ago that they announced it, this book just won the Will Rogers Medallion Award Gold Medal for Western Fiction. So it is an award-winning Western book, The Sons of Philo Gaines. Highly recommend it. Mike is actually an elder at the church I attend and has been a good friend for many, many years. And it's his first novel, and he just won the gold medal for the Will Rogers Medallion Awards. So that's a neat thing. The other one is a few years older. This one came out in 2017. It's Why We're Protestant by Nate Pickowitz, a pastor in New England, also a friend of mine. And this is a really good book for explaining the arguments behind the Protestant Reformation. Sunday the 31st is Reformation Day. It is the, I guess now would be the 504th anniversary. Yeah, 2017 was 500. So the 503rd anniversary, if I'm doing my math correctly. Math consisting of counting on my fingers. If I'm doing my math correctly, it's the 503rd anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. What's officially recognized as the start of the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation actually, I think, began further back in time with John Wycliffe and John Huss. But the events of October 31st, 1517, got it out of academic arguments and into the popular realm as Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, where he was essentially challenging somebody to debate him on indulgences. Reading Luther's own writings and stuff, it doesn't even seem like he was actually a Christian at the time, that he was not actually saved until 2019. But he had seen the sale of indulgences and figured that indeed this was not the way the church should go, selling people the right to get out of purgatory. And later, of course, he rightfully rejected purgatory entirely. But 503 years ago, the Protestant Reformation started, and Nate's book, Why We're Protestant, goes through the reasons for the Reformation and the fact that those reasons still exist. The Reformation isn't over because, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, that's another thing. The Protestants were very, very careful not to call the Church of Rome the Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. The Catholic Church, as it's mentioned in the Apostles' Creed, is the church that's made up of the entire body of believers, all who have trusted in Christ for salvation. Excuse me. All who have trusted in Christ for salvation are part of the Catholic Church. And that's why the Protestant reformers were very, very careful not to call the Church of Rome the Catholic Church, because their contention was, we are the ones who are trusting in Christ. We are the ones that are actually holding to the Scripture. We are the Catholic Church. The Church of Rome is not. And so they called them Romanists or Papists. That's actually something that I try to follow. I will refer to Roman Catholicism, but I don't refer to Catholicism, because the Catholic Church is indeed the true church, and the Church of Rome is not part of the Catholic Church. So they are Romanists. So that's just a little aside there. And Babylon Bee just published an article that I have to read to you this morning. It was published yesterday, and it fits right in with what we've been discussing the last 2 weeks on education. The article is entitled, Seven Reasons Parents Should Have No Say Whatsoever in Their Child's Education. Do you think parents should have a say in their kids' education? You're wrong. Here are seven reasons parents need to just stay away and let the professionals raise their kids. Number one, parents don't know anything about kids. It's true. Most of them don't have master's degrees in kids raising or education. Sad. Most parents don't raise their kids to be unquestioning. This is number two. Most parents don't raise their kids to be unquestioning drones of the dystopian state. Very selfish of them. Number three, uneducated parents might only know about two of the genders. What a bunch of dopes. Do you want your kid to be underprepared for her gender studies degree? Number four, parents' judgment can't be trusted since they choose to have kids instead of getting an abortion. Having kids is like the worst thing you can do for the planet. Gross. Number five, parents may read books like Cat in the Hat or Tuttle Twins instead of My Two Dads, just like the Nazis did. Number six, they might not want their five-year-old to transition just yet. Not giving your kids surgery and hormone blockers the second they wear something pink is literally child abuse. And number seven, reinforces the outdated stereotypes that the nuclear family is the core of society. The nuclear family is a despicable invention of white people, and anyone who participates in it is guilty of white supremacy. The state is your family now. Repeat after us, the state is my family. By now, we're sure you're convinced that parents should stay far, far away from their kids' education. Just let the smart people take it from here. You're welcome. So that was the Babylon Bee. And as I said, that jumps right into the topic that we've been discussing these last few weeks. Well, we are reading through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. We are in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be in chapters 7 and 8 today, as soon as I clear my throat. So we're going to be in chapters 7 and 8 as we continue to work our way through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. Just saw a thing from on Twitter or Instagram yesterday from Steadfast Bibles and 316 Publishing that the first shipments of the new reprints of the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs are being shipped right now. And they expect to be shipping the complete Bible here in the next month. So that's really exciting. Hopefully it will hit our electronic apps before it's shipped. I'd very much just like to have access to it even before my paper Bible arrives. And yes, I did pre-order right away. So I'm looking forward to actually having it in my hands. That is going to be fun. All right. Well, let's read through our prayers as we prepare our hearts to read our Bible. Praying first for our leaders, then praying our prayer of confession, and then finally praying for our reading of the scriptures. And again, I'm reading these from various issues of the Book of Common Prayer. The prayer for our leaders comes out of the 2019 Anglican Church in North America Book of Common Prayer. And then the other two prayers come out of the 1552 original Book of Common Prayer that was written by Archbishop Cranmer. So, and this is because I am, while I am not Anglican, I am firmly Baptist in my theology. I am a bit of an Anglophile, and in general, in the study of English history. When I was in college, my concentration was actually on English medieval history, and always a very interesting time. I guess it goes from a childhood of watching Robin Hood and King Arthur movies and being fascinated by knights in armor. And because of King Arthur, associating knights in armor with England, you know, it took a while before I realized they actually had knights in armor on the continent as well, in France and Germany and elsewhere. So it was always a part, it always part and parcel with England to me is the knights in armor. And so I'm a bit of an Anglophile. Also being a student of Reformation history and having Archbishop Cranmer as one of my heroes of the faith, I have a strong affinity for the Church of England, not in all of her doctrines, certainly not in all of her current iterations, but in the history of it and the purpose, the plan that Cranmer had. Now, God is sovereign, and it was in God's providence that that Edward VI would die when he did, and that the Catholic Mary Tudor would become queen for a few years and would totally mess things up, killing Cranmer in the process and hundreds of others for being Protestants in England. And when Elizabeth, Mary's sister, came to the throne, who in so many ways was such a great queen and really helped firm up not only England's internal politics, but not only the internal politics of England, but also the military, the empire. There was so much that Elizabeth did that was just so positive for the time. Very beginnings of the Industrial Revolution were during that time. I know we normally think of the Industrial Revolution being in the 19th century, but there was actually quite a bit going on in the 17th century as well. And a lot of that, really in the 16th century when Elizabeth was queen. And so a lot of that started when Elizabeth was queen. But when she was a Protestant, I think that's fairly evident, but she was not as, how should we say, doctrinally pure as her little brother had been. And she, and of course, without a lot of the leaders of the Protestant Church, the English reformers had been killed by Mary. So she did not have, really, at the beginning of her reign, a strongly Protestant clergy. The great theologians and preachers of the Protestant Reformation in England had been burned at the stake by Mary. So there was a core missing of doctrinal Protestantism. But so when she reinstituted the Church of England and she didn't go as far as Edward VI would have done under Cranmer. Certainly didn't reinstitute Cranmer's entire program. And the prayer book of 1558, which I believe is correct, that Elizabeth published, and which is essentially the same prayer book as the 1662 that Charles II published, that prayer book was not as strongly Protestant as the 1552 that Cranmer wrote. And there is a rabbit trail I just chased. Let us pray. O Lord, our governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States and the governors of the various states, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. The Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 7, again from the Legacy Standard Bible. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, in all things, whatever you want people to do for you, so do for them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow, and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter it. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, in your name did we not prophesy, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the rivers came, and the winds blew and fell against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone hearing these words of mine and not doing them may be compared to the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now what happened when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teachings. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Chapter 8. Now when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and was bowing down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not good enough for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began waiting on him. Now when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill, in order to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Then a scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my Father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was sleeping. And they came to him and got him up, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you so cowardly, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men marveled, saying, What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he came to the other side, into the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What do we have to do with you, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now there was a herd of many swine feeding at the distance from them. And the demons began to plead with him, saying, If you are going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine. And he said to them, Go. And coming out, they went into the swine, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. Now the herdsmen ran away and went to the city and reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. This is the word of the Lord. Well, thank you for being with me on this Friday. As I said, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I wish you the very best. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. And hope to see you again here on Monday for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Go to church.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster. The Arboreal Rodent Network has reached the end of our podcast day. ARN is owned and operated by Squirrel, and podcasts in the public interest under the authority of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Our business offices are located in the piney woods of western Montana, and you can reach ARN by email at squirrelchatter@protonmail.com. Our podcasts are provided free of charge for the private use of our listeners, and you are welcome and encouraged to copy and distribute these recordings, provided that you do so free of charge and do not edit the content in any way. ARN will return soon with another episode of Squirrel Chatter.